to say is we're going to venture onto a series about love. And we're going all the way through Easter. And for me, Easter is what our community calls it. It's Resurrection Sunday for me. And I love it so much. I love that we can get together with family. I love the irony of getting ham when you're celebrating the resurrection of a Jewish, you know, savior. That's cool. All that's fun. But you guys, the big thing for me is that you can't have resurrection without crucifixion. The Spirit of God is alive and well and always has been. Jesus gave himself for us. And so I'm kind of burying the lead, but when we look at love, it's because Jesus loves us. It's because he's so awesome. And we get to celebrate that, and we get to remember that. And Resurrection Sunday is just super encouraging for me. God's like, man, I took sin and death and defeated both of them. That's where we can have a table set for us in the presence of our enemies. The greatest enemies we'll ever face have been defeated in Jesus. Somebody's got to feel that. Amen. Thanks, Kath. That's my wife. Okay. You guys, if Crosswater is your church home, we encourage you to give of your time, your talents, and your treasures, not just your financial treasures. And I find this fascinating. The biggest debate that I've had with Christians has been about money. Jesus didn't say you had to give money. He came and fulfilled all of the laws. Yeah, he raised all of them, but that one, he said, don't worry about it. Look, everything we have is his. So however you give, however you're led to do that, I'm going to teach what the Bible says, but you get to give as you see fit. I'm not going to manipulate you. I'm not going to guilt trip you, but I am going to tell you that you've got nothing that wasn't given by him. And so giving back to him time, talents, and treasures is just a thank you. It's giving because he gave first. So here we go. Jesus said, we're starting this whole year out with Jesus said, and we're going all the way through the whole year with Jesus said. Why is it such a big deal what Jesus said? Anybody? Because he's Jesus, because he's the Son of God. Because it's the truth. Go ahead.
It saves us.
Amen. It saves us. He saves us. He's the living word of God. What else? Any other thoughts? Why is it a big deal? What's that? The word of God will never return void. It'll never be empty. We get snow and rain and people complain and all that, but it helps this place be strong and grow. And God's word won't return empty to him, just like the rain won't return empty. So good. Well, we got a lot of other things that we're going to be able to get into today. And so remember that. That's why Jesus said it's such a big deal. I mean, seriously, David sits right here with the shirt that says, Yeshua, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. His name means the Lord, Yahweh, saves. You just said he saves. His word saves. And so that's why it's a big deal. Here we go. You shall love. That's our new series all the way through Easter. Resurrection Sunday, we're going to look at no greater love. As a matter of fact, we're going to look at that all the way through the series. Spoiler alert. But here it is. You shall love. Do you know who said that first? Anybody? I know this sounds tricky. It's not that tricky. I mean, Jesus did, yes. His daddy, Yahweh, the Most High. Let's go to Mark 12, 28 through 31. Jesus has been on the scene for a while here now. His authority is being challenged. People are questioning him left and right. There's all kinds of miracles, all kinds of cool stuff happening. People are following him in droves. He even talks about paying taxes. Some of you are like, that's way too soon. It's raw, man. Don't talk about it. Well, Jesus did. And so he has all these people, religious leaders and otherwise, coming up to him, wanting to see him, wanting to talk to him. But most of the religious leaders weren't hoping to learn something from him. They were hoping to trap him. And so why we're really wanting to get into what Jesus said is because people have been tweaking it for thousands of years. They want to make it sound, and sometimes they're just like convicted on one area and not so much on the other, but he said a bunch of different things. And so they asked him a bunch of things. They asked him about resurrection. They asked him about life. One scribe shows up. A scribe, really, really cool job. They would write out the law of God. Literally scribe, right? And they would know the word of God by heart. And I don't just mean like a chapter. They'd know the whole thing. That's a great brain, right? Basically like a lawyer and this great author all rolled into one. Check this out. Mark 12, 28 through 31. And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing, the Sadducees, and this is earlier in the chapter. They were arguing with him, disputing with Jesus, and they were disputing with one another. And seeing that he answered them well, he asks them, him, Jesus, a question. Which commandment is the most important of all? Jesus answered, the most important is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. The Jewish people would have known this as the Shema. They would have been saying this their whole lives. They would have had it memorized from a very early age. Shema, the Hebrew word for hear. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. There's only one God. That was super exclusive back in that day. Still is in our day. So he's the first, the most important is, God is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. The second is this. He didn't ask him for a second. Did you notice that? I mean, what did he said what? Do you guys remember the question? Yeah, and he didn't even give a commandment at first. He gave the reason why the commandment's so important. He said, Hear, O Israel, like, listen up, yo. Clean out your ears. Shema. Take this in. The Lord is one. And then what did he say the most important commandment was? Yeah. Love God with all that you have. And the second is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Okay. Can we all agree on one thing right here, right now? Jesus said this. I mean, some of us are like, you're reading it. It's in the Bible. I don't know. I wasn't there. Let's look at his life throughout the course of this whole year, and you tell me if this was what Jesus said. But right here, for right now, for the debate that we don't have a ton of time for, he said, this is the most important commandment. Love God with all that you have, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Nothing greater than this. He links these together forever. You know why we're going to talk about love? I want to hear it from you, but why? Why talk about love? What do you guys think? Amen. It's who God is. It's the number one commandment. Good. Carol says, if there isn't any love, there's going to be a whole lot of hate. Do you know that this is the number one topic of songs, books, movies, TV shows? Is love. Do you know that this is hotly debated in our culture this very second? Love. Why are we going to talk about love? Because God said it was the most important thing. And we definitely live like it is. Listen to this. Without a right relationship with God, our relationships with others will not be right either. The cause of the world's problems is that man needs to be reconciled to God. We'll never love our neighbors as ourselves if we don't first love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. All of our best efforts towards world peace will fail as long as we are living in rebellion against God. Why talk about love? Because it's the most important thing to God. But what is love? And yep, I will always. What is love? It is always in my head. You're welcome. I get it. But more than that, there's an answer to that head bopping song. Will you join me in 1 John 4, 7 through 12? I'm about to unpack what love is in a quick way. So 1 John 4, 7 through 12. If you fall asleep, I'm going to hit it again at the end. So get ready, okay? Here we go. 1 John 4, 7 through 12. Beloved or beloved, whatever way you want to say that. Let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Let the hearer hear, this does not say love is love. This does not say feelings are love. This does not say money is love. This says God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest, shown among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. And he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, the payment for our sins. He's light and he's love, and he pays for us to come back into the light and into love. He says it twice, back-to-back verses. How do we know what love is, church? God showed it. We just remembered it. We're proclaiming it. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides. That's a word from last week if you were here. Remains in us. God remains in us, dwells in us, and his love is perfected or made whole in us. What's love? God is love. God is love. There's a lot of different words, and I'm just going to use one Hebrew word. I'm going to use, what do I got here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Greek words. Will you join me all the way back in Exodus? Exodus 34, 6 through 7. Nate did a great job of giving you just a couple of snapshots of the prophecies that Jesus fulfilled. But here we are in Exodus 34. God gives all the rules to Moses. He descended down in a cloud, stood with Moses, didn't show his entire glory to him because that would have killed Moses. But the Lord passed before him and he proclaims, Exodus 34, 6, the Lord, Yahweh, I am a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. By the way, before we move on to the next verse, this is what Jonah was so upset about. Men, we're studying through the book of Jonah. Some of you were there yesterday, some of you weren't, some of you were there a couple. The second and last Saturdays, we're getting together and we're going after it and we're unpacking what this looks like. But Jonah was upset that God is gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, which is the word we're looking at to explain what is love. It's chesed. And we'll get to that in a second. But he's like, look, he's abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love, hesed, for thousands of generations, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty? Who are the guilty?
Everybody
falls short. Everybody. But he will not clear the guilty if they stay in their guilt. I would love to unpack that more. You can understand this. You're either confessing that the Lord is the Lord, and in so doing, the light shines on you, and you recognize, I'm not the Lord. I've done a bunch of bad stuff. Lord, forgive me. I want you. He shows his loving kindness to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commands. We talked about this a bunch last week. If you love God, Jesus says, you're going to keep his commandments. You're going to obey him. Oh, so it's rules. No. And yes. It's not that rules will save you. It's you follow him. His words give life. He is love. And he commands that you love him first and then others. He won't clear the guilty. He's visiting the iniquity or the sins of the fathers on the children and on the children's children to the third and fourth generations. Not a math guy, but the good news here is that there's 1,000 generations that he shows loving kindness to. And it's only the third and fourth generations of those who don't love him and don't keep his commands. So this word chesed is all the way through the Old Testament. I just looked, I'm hand-picking three verses right here, but it's twice in Exodus 34, 6 and 7. If God is love, what kind of love? Steadfast. He's not lacking in love. We turn to Micah 6, 8. I'm sure that some of you have sung this song before. Maybe we'll get back to singing that. It's an oldie but a goodie. In the ESV, it's a little bit different than some of us grew up learning or singing. But he's told you, oh man, what is good. Now, I know, unashamedly, I'll admit this, I love rap. And in the hip-hop culture, and in particular in the Christian hip-hop culture, the phrase, what is good, is still going on. It's like saying, how you doing? It was good. Well, he's shown you what's good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice and to love kindness or steadfast love. Love, steadfast love, love, chesed, and to walk humbly with your God. Look, I love love. My mom and my birth father got divorced because they fell out of love. My mom said it like this to me. We no longer were in love with being in love. Love to me doesn't sound, according to what little bit we've read so far this morning, doesn't sound just like a feeling. Sounds like something more. I want to bring to your attention, and it'll be up on the screen, chesed can be translated in a number of ways. These are the three most consistent ways. Mercy, steadfast love, that means hanging in there, clinging on, won't let go, and then loving kindness. Church, this is, again, letting the cat out of the bag, but a lot of times people don't believe that God is love because his people aren't very kind. Now, kindness doesn't mean just do what you want. Hey, shucks, God loves you no matter what. You know what? You go sin it up, make it worth his while. That is not kind. That's a lie. Friends, I heard this a long time ago from a man much smarter than me and much older than me. He said, listen, Aaron, what you win people with is what you win them to. So if you're winning them with a love that just tries to pretend like there's nothing bad, that's what they're going to believe in. Share the good news, he said, but let them know that you need good news when there's bad news that rules the day. And so this idea of Micah 6, 8 saying love, mercy, love, loving kindness, Love this steadfast love. Love this chesed. Doesn't mean you just love receiving it, friend. You love giving it. And I love how Micah finishes, walk humbly with your God. Humbly isn't, oh, I'm so terrible. I'm just lame. There's a lot of things out here that don't suck, but I suck. I'm bad. Do you know who that's all about? Yourself. It's just like pride having a bad day. It's real, though. I've seen it in my wife. It's terrible. You guys, chesed, I've had friends that have tattooed this. I have friends that have, like, put it on a pillow. I've had friends that have had t-shirts that say it. This idea of loving kindness is God. This idea of steadfast love is God. This idea of mercy is God. You know what mercy is, right? It's not getting what you deserve. Oh, this is God. We must move on. Let's go to some New Testament words for love. So I said, what is love? And the first answer is God. Second answer from what we see in the scripture is chesed, or steadfast love, loving kindness, mercy. Jesus had a bunch of different things, and the Greek had, I think there's at least 7 words in Greek for love. We're going to go through 5. Some are actually in the New Testament and the Old Testament and the Septuagint, which is the Greek translated version of the Old Testament. Some are in there, some are not, but all of them are found in one way, shape, or form in how people loved. And we use the word love for pizza, for sleep, for sunshine, for your wife, for your children, for your husband, for God. They were way more specific. I've heard it said like this. The Greek is so detailed. It's like watching a movie on IMAX. We have English. It's like watching the same movie on a 60-inch. Same movie, but you get a few more details when you're on the IMAX. It's a little bit different of an experience. And the Greek was very, very specific. I don't know Greek. I know some words. I'm going to try to pronounce some of these. But this is what love is according to the time where Jesus lived and how people would understand it. Let's go to Matthew 19, and we're going to do 5 through 6 really, really fast. This comes off of teaching on divorce, by the way. Matthew 19, 5. And Jesus said, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they're no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate. So this first one is epithumia, and it is in the New Testament. We just read it, and there's a lot of stuff in the Old Testament too. But this is a legit physical desire, a desire to be one. It's not just a sexual desire. That's coming with the word eros. But it's a desire to be connected. Epithumia is this great idea that we have desires that have been put inside of us by God. This is a love. This is where people can say, I love pizza. I long for pizza. I enjoy pizza. I love chocolate. People are like, oh, when I get to heaven, there's going to be chocolate and there's going to be pizza because I love it. Now, this can be messed with. This can become a bad thing is when you lust after something. This is when epithumia becomes a problem and we misuse it. A couple of words that you won't find in the New Testament, but you'll find expressions of this all throughout the Bible. Eros, this is romantic or sexual love. If you're hearing erotic in there, it's because that's the root of the word eros. Definitely expressed in Song of Songs, Song of Solomon. You can check it out there. Storge, this word. Also not found in the New Testament, but expressed all over the place. This is affection, belonging. It's familial connection. It's where, like, you know how they say, you can choose your friends, but you're stuck with your family? That's this right here, storge. And it can also be abused because you take people for granted. Obviously, eros can be abused in all kinds of ways because they make sex love. God is love, not sex, not money, but God. These final two are found actually in one verse. Let's go to John 21, 15. If anybody's stoked like I am when you hear John 21, you think, oh, that's when Jesus had like a little breakfast and he reinstated Peter. Well, right in that reinstatement of Peter, and Peter was this guy, Simon Peter, who had denied Jesus three times, and then he gets reinstated three times. We're going to go for the first mention of it. When they finished breakfast, by the way, this is so rad. Jesus is on the beach, and he's making some food. And he calls out to his disciples who went fishing because they're bummed out because he was gone. And then they saw him, and then they didn't. He had resurrected, and then he's like, whoa, what's going on? Where is it? It's the Lord. And Peter jumps out, doesn't wait for them. And he's like, yeah, I got to go see Jesus because I love me some Jesus. And here's what's up. When they'd finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, he full named him, do you love me more than these? Use the Greek word agape. Do you love me more than these? Simon said to him, yes, Lord. You know that I love you. Phileo, different kind of love. Jesus said, feed my sheep. They go on with this a couple of different times. So three all together. Here's the words. Jesus says, do you love me? Agape, but I'm going to look at philia first, or phileo. This is where you get Philadelphia, city of brotherly love. This is friendship. This is chosen. This is where you have common interests. This is where you commit to one another. You dig one another. You choose. Look, you're my brother. You're my sister. I choose you. I want you. So that's what Peter's like, yeah, you're my brother. You, yes, I love you. I choose to love you. But Jesus asked him, do you agape me? This is unselfish, putting others' interests ahead of your own. This is choosing them and their best. This is perfect. This is God's kind of love. And honestly, throughout the rest of the New Testament, this is the word that they use for love. Agape. This is what we read in 1 John. So I don't know if any of you have wondered about this, but this kind of brings me to a question, and we're going to get going pretty soon, but how can you command love? Better yet, how can God command love? Isn't love a choice? Isn't love a feeling? We were in this auditorium for four performances, and the beast yells at Belle, you're hungry when I tell you you're hungry. She's like, it doesn't work like that. I mean, when is that any different? You love. What's the greatest commandment? Probably be good to people. No, Jesus said love. How do you command love? How does God command love? Go ahead. That was actually not rhetorical. Okay. Come on. We got a little bit of time. Yes, ma'am.
Well, if God is love and we are made in his image, he knows that that is in us. It's hardwired in us. We choose to walk away from it sometimes and ignore it, but it is a part of how we're made.
That's so good. Gosh, I got to get a microphone. That was so good. Hey, if you're online, you missed it. Come to church. Okay, anyways, I'll repeat it. God is love. So we're made in his image. We're hardwired to love. He's calling us to do something we were made to do. And we blew it. but he still keeps calling us to it. Any other thoughts really quick on that? Because I'm about to just go off. So, not on you, like with you. You're like, but we're not yelling. Okay, I'll do it for all of us. How can God command love? Because he is love. Can I just give you, say it again?
He loves us first.
Whoo, he loved us first. He is love. He defines it. He is it. Come on, can we just get to the basics here? He's God. He can do what he wants. And he's good. Love is a commandment because it's a reflection of God's nature. God is love. And by loving others, after you love God with all that you have, you're participating in God's work of redeeming people, restoring people, relating to people. This is a reflection of God's character, his desire for all of us as people. So I'm going to go back. I'm going to read for you again. Mark 12:28-31. Just hear it. Hear the word of Jesus. Hear the question from the guy. Hear the opportunities. You guys, the next 5 weeks, 6 weeks, we're going to get after what it means to love God and to love others. We're going to look at that every week, by the way. And we'll look at what Jesus said. Because what Aaron says really is a lot. And sometimes it's fluffy and not that big a deal. But what Jesus says is always good because he's always God. One of the scribes came up to him and he heard them disputing with one another. And seeing that he had answered them well, he asked Jesus, which commandment is the most important of all? Jesus answered, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. He calls us to do something that we can't do on our own. Good news, friends. He never intended for us to be on our own. We chose that, and we still couldn't go away from him. Psalm 139, right? We bragged about how awesome God's love is, that there's nowhere you can go where he isn't. Grave, there. Heavens, there. East, there. West, there. Land, there. Sea, there. Darkness, there. Not even darkness is dark to God because he is light. Great news. He doesn't expect you to do this on your own. He knows you can't. He calls you and I to do something that's impossible for us to do on our own. You remember the young rich ruler? He comes sprinting up to Jesus, falls down before him. First thing, rich people wouldn't run. Second thing, nobody's going to fall down before somebody and bow to them when they're rich and have a position of authority. And he's actually shown himself to be basically a worshiper of Jesus. And he says, good teacher, what must I do to be saved? Don't call me good. Only God is good. But he's not actually saying that. And I misspoke. He doesn't say, don't call me good. He goes, only God is good. Do you know who you're talking to? And he gives them six of the Ten Commandments because, like, the first commandments are about loving God, and the next are about loving others. It's almost like God's consistent with all of this love God, love other stuff. And he's like, well, I've kept all those since I was a kid. He goes, great. I love you. Look, just get rid of all your stuff. Go sell it. Give it to the poor. And then come follow me, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Bom, bom, bom. The guy left sad because he loved his stuff. His epithemia had turned into agape for things. Jesus is not calling us to try to just bootstrap it. He's calling us to rely on him. Romans 1:16-17 gives us how we can do this. First, it starts with the good news. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, the good news, for it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. To the Jew first and also to the Greek, so to everybody. The power of salvation is God. The good news is God loved us so much he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. We can't keep this commandment on our own. Only Jesus can. So we have faith in him, and he shows us how to love God and love others. And so, one more repeat. Man, there's so much in the Bible, and you're going to repeat similar verses? Not similar, the exact same. For those who are able, will you stand with me as we hear this, God's word that gives us this great reminder to live by faith and to love God and to love others. Beloved, let us love one another, for love's from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest, shown among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. There goes some faith. It's Jesus that does it. He loves God with everything, and he loves his neighbors. He loves himself. We're in him. We get to do that and be that. And when we make mistakes, we come back to him over and over again. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation, the payment, the solution for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one's ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides, dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. Jesus said, you shall love. Let's do it. So how are you going to move towards Jesus? How are you going to be closer to him? How are you going to live this out? So many great ways. First, you might need to start by humbling yourself and submitting to God as God and not you. Recognize that he had to pay for you because you couldn't do it on your own. You're part of the problem, not the solution, apart from him. And that's okay. Admit it. We all are apart from him. But those who are in him, then now it's time to obey him. So the first step is move towards Jesus. Submit. Recognize he's God. He's love. He defines all that. Your next step, obey him. Seek him first might be another step. Like, God, what you say goes, not what I say and what I feel. Another step for you might be loving others. You've been loving God. You obey him. You take him at his word. Oh, gosh, wait a minute. But I don't love. I'm not giving you the list. You got one. And so he's going to call you to start loving others. Maybe you need to start being more kind. Maybe you need to start sharing the love of God. Yes, the good news. Yes, the Bible. Yes, invite them to church. But be the church in such a way when you're out there that they're like, oh, there's something to this. This is different. This is love. This goes beyond anything I've experienced on my own. And finally, celebrate God's word. Don't avoid it. Get together. Read it. Look, we've got some stuff that God calls us to say to people that is hard. Like, that's wrong. There's a better way. Jesus is the way. You can do it with a smile on your face, but it still stings. It's still salt in the wound. It's still light in the dark. But we've got to move towards Jesus. He's the only answer. Let's pray. Lord, I believe you. I trust you. I love you because you love me first. I love my friends here. You've loved them first. God, I know that you've got more for us than we could ever have on our own. May we not walk away from you. May we walk to you. May we start with repentance. May we stick with that. May we love you with all of our heart, mind, body, and soul. And may we love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Jesus, show us how to do that, and may we rely on you for it. I pray this in your unmatched name. Amen. Hey, be strong and courageous. Let it be contagious. Go show the world who Jesus is.